Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Ezekiel Sent Out, as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet. Now you remember he fell on his face when he saw this whole thing, saw the throne of God and the brightness and the flashes and all. He fell on his face. And he heard a voice of one speaking, and the voice said, Stand up, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. So first he saw, now he is hearing this word of the Lord. And he said unto me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, they're stiff-hearted, and I send you unto them, and you shall say unto them, Thus saith Jehovah God. So he is now commissioned by God to go not to the house of Judah only, but to the whole children of Israel. And they, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. I'm going to send you to speak in my name. And whether they listen or not, doesn't matter. They are a rebellious people. When you're through, they're going to know that there was a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and you do dwell among scorpions. Don't be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, he's telling him, hey, they're not apt to receive you. They're rebellious. They're impudent children. And they may take the thorns and pull the thorns across you. The method by which they would punish people is take these thorns and pull them across a person's body. They have some really heavy thorn bushes over there. But don't worry about that. For you are to speak my words unto them, whether or not they listen. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Don't you be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat that which I give to you. And when I looked, behold, there was a hand that was sent unto me, and lo, there was a scroll of a book within it, or there was a roll of a scroll, actually, therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was writing therein, which were lamentations and mourning and woe. So the Lord says, you know, now you're to eat what I set before you. And the Lord sets before him this scroll, and he opens it out, and all of these woes and lamentations and mournings are written therein. The eating of it, of course, is symbolic. Even as John was given the scroll and he did eat it, and it, when it's in his mouth sweet as honey, but in his belly it was bitter. Here he is told to eat the words. Now, you read of a person devouring a book. We say, oh, he really devoured that book. Now, you don't mean that he roasted it and put ketchup on it and took his knife and fork and ate the thing, but he absorbed it. And even as your food becomes a part of your being, so words, ideas, thoughts can become a part of your being as you absorb them. They affect your life. So he is told to eat, to digest in a sense, or eat, devour the words that are here. We are to feast on the Word of God. that it might become a part of our lives. We're to have an appetite, a hunger for the Word of God. And as we partake or eat of God's Word, it is as it was to Ezekiel, sweet, it was good, the Word of God. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that which you find, eat this scroll, and then go and speak to the house of Israel. In other words, devour it and then go give it forth. You see, that's really what the ministry is all about. You devour the Word of God and then you give it forth to the people, where it is now a part of you. You read and absorb the Word until it becomes a part of your very life, and then you give it out unto others. So I opened my mouth. He caused me to eat that scroll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause your belly to eat it and fill your bowels with this scroll that I give to you. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go and get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with them my words. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech. Notice he's sent to the house of Israel. You're not sent to a bunch of strangers, foreigners, people with a language that you have difficulty with, you can't understand. But you're sent to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely I had sent thee unto them, they would have hearkened. If I'd sent you to these heathen, they would have listened to you. But I'm sending you to the house of Israel. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And they're going to give you some dirty looks, but don't be afraid. Speak my word. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all of my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in your heart and hear with thine ears. So receive in your heart, hear with your ears all of these words. Let them become a part of your life. And go get thee to them of the captivity, the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. And whether they were here or not, then the Spirit took me up. Now, he's caught up by the Spirit. I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing. Remember, like the rushing waters, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of these living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. So he had this fascinating experience now. As people say, they've been, you know, taken up in these flying saucers and all. It would appear that he had somewhat a similar experience of an astral projection with these cherubim. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, those that dwelt by the river of Kibar. And I sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished among them for 7 days. So he comes to these, the captives, there at Tel Abib, and he's just astonished by what he sees, and he just sits there for 7 days in silence. Sort of overawed and astonished. Now, you remember when Job was having all of his difficulties and his friends came to comfort him. For 7 days, they didn't say a word. They just sat there in silence until Job opened up his mouth and began to complain about his condition. Sitting in silence. And so here is Ezekiel doing much the same thing, just sitting in silence as he observes this whole scene of these people. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord at my mouth and give them warning from me. So God is now calling him, commissioning him. Look, I've made you a watchman. That's your commission. Your duty is twofold. Number one, hear my word. Two, give them my word. Hearing the voice of God, hearing the word of God, and then giving forth the word of God. This is always the method of God. There are many people who do not listen to God. Their ear is out of tune, out of frequency. God always uses those who are in touch with him to reach those who are out of touch with him. God uses you in touch with him to reach the world out of touch with him. And that is the primary purpose why you are still here. God has a work for you to do. God is wanting to touch this needy world. God uses those who are in touch with him to, through them, touch the needy world. Hear my word, and then speak my word to them. Now, when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and if you do not warn him, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Now, look, I've set you as a watchman, and you are responsible to hear my word and to speak my word. And if I say to the wicked, you're going to die, if you warn them and they listen, great, they will live. If they don't listen, at least you've delivered your soul. If you don't warn them and they die, then you're responsible. The blood is on your hands. What does it mean to have the blood on my hands? What does it mean to fail in my service to God? If God is saying to the wicked, hey, you better turn, and God uses or calls me to be the spokesman to warn those people that they better turn from their wickedness or God's judgment is coming. And if I fail to do it and God's judgment comes and they're destroyed, what does that mean that their blood is on my hands? It means that God holds me responsible. And that the reward that I would have for faithful service will not be given to me. Now, notice he wasn't told to convince the wicked to turn. He wasn't told to argue with them. He was only told to declare to them the warning of God. That's all. We so often in our Christian experience make the mistake of thinking that we've got to somehow convert people to Jesus Christ. You can't convert them to Jesus Christ. God doesn't call you to convert people to Jesus Christ. He calls you to warn people. And therein is the calling of God. I've called you, he said, to warn them. You've got to obey it. You've got to be responsible. Now, again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him and he shall die. In other words, here's a guy turned from God, going down the wrong path, and God puts the stumbling block that's going to trip him into hell. And because thou hast not given him a warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at your hand. What does this have to do with eternal security? Really nothing. We're dealing in the Old Testament. And that righteousness which existed in the Old Testament was a righteousness of obedience to the law, whereas the righteousness that we have in the New Testament is the righteousness that is imputed to us by our faith in Jesus Christ. So you're dealing with a different righteousness. Secondly, there is an association, because there are many who have made a profession, and there are many today who do profess to be Christians, but whose lives are being lived after the flesh. And I don't care what profession you might make. John surely warns us that there are people who are making false professions. He that saith he is in the light and walks in darkness lies. He doesn't know the truth. He that says he has no sin deceives himself. God's truth isn't in him. If a man say, and man say a lot of things, but there's got to be a corresponding action in his life. If I say I'm walking in the light and yet I am living after the flesh and walking in darkness, I'm only deceiving myself. The truth isn't in me. And there are a lot of people who have deceived themselves because they have made verbal professions of faith. But there is no fruit in their life to indicate any change. And they are still living and walking after the flesh. And yet the Word of God plainly warns us concerning those works of the flesh. As Paul said, for the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you, I've told you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't care what profession you've made. If you are living and walking after the flesh, if you are living in the practice of sin opposed to God, I don't care what righteous things you may have done. Your very life is denying Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, through which faith God imputes righteousness to us. But your very life denies him. And you're going to perish in your sin. And God is commissioning Ezekiel to warn the people of the truth of God. That's what you've got to do, Ezekiel. And once you do, you've delivered your soul. And I'm warning you, as the servant of God, according to the Word of God and my understanding of the Word of God, if you continually are living after the flesh, not walking after the Spirit, not being led by the Spirit, not seeking the things of the Spirit, it makes no difference what profession you may have made. Your life is denying Christ. And many people have been lulled into a false sense of security by false prophets who encourage them to just live however you want. It doesn't really matter. Just send your offering in and things will be okay. Don't believe it. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me. This is, again, the third time he uses this phrase. And he said unto me, arise and go forth into the plain, and I will talk with thee there. So I arose and I went forth into the plain. Now, this is from the River Chebar. He left and went to the plain. Now, he had sort of a divine transport to the River Chebar, but he has to walk away. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the River of Chebar, and I fell on my face. God isn't limited to one locality. He's everywhere. And he's in the plain as well as by the river. And sometimes he will give directions and will allow you to do things one way, but then other times it's different ways. Our problem is that we try to pattern God. Well, now this is the way God did it before, as though God has to continue in the same pattern. And we oftentimes make mistakes of thinking that God is patterned and God is bound to one method or one way. And we as men so easily fall into that rut of trying to do, well, this is the way, you know, they did it. This is the way our fathers did it, you know. And we get in these ruts, and that's one of the problems of the church. It's so filled with rituals that it doesn't communicate to people anymore.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 2-3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you this week. May the Lord bless you. May He fill you with His love, with His Spirit, with His grace, that you might show forth that grace of God in your dealings with others, that you might manifest the Spirit, the nature of Jesus Christ in your relationship with others, that you might walk even as He walked, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As we look back over the roadmap of our lives, we often see the value of troubled times, personal trials, and even the experiences of pain or the death of a loved one. These are the building blocks that establish God's plan for us. It is with great honor that I'm pleased to introduce Pastor Chuck Smith's autobiography entitled A Memoir of Grace. You're invited to pull up a chair and listen as Pastor Chuck shares his personal story of how God's grace prepared him for life's purposes. Perhaps as you're reading this story, you'll be prompted to evaluate your own past, your present situation, and that which is yet to happen, and realize that it all plays a part in establishing God's plan for you. See God's grace at work in your own life when you order a personal copy of A Memoir of Grace by Pastor Chuck.
God called me into the ministry and how God has just led us step by step.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll free at 1-800-272-WORD.